3172. SMS Refilwe
on 31702.
It is time to talk motoring. A friend of the show, Ernest Page, motoring journalist, who joins us every couple of weeks to give us his insights into various vehicles that he's had time or had an opportunity to spend time with, and give us a review and, of course, touch base on the world of motoring. And today we're going to be talking specifically the Dakar Rally. Morning, Ernest. A happy one to you.
Good morning, Refilwe, and happy new year to you too. Nice to be back on the phone with you again. And let's do it for 2022. I think South Africa got off to a good start for 2022. You mentioned the Dakar a second ago.
Yeah.
And what a great start to South Africa's motorsport. Yeah, I don't think many people realize that this was a big win for South Africa winning the Dakar.
Well, let's talk about that and what to make of Toyota's Alatia winning the Dakar Rally for the fourth time. Why was it meaningful, or is it meaningful for South Africa specifically with this race? And perhaps actually stop right there. Just give us a sense of the Dakar Rally, right? What this flagship race is. Means on the motocross circuit, and in fact, you know, the fact that, you know, for a couple of years it was stopped for geopolitical reasons, safety concerns around its, you know, the original staging of the Dakar Rally, but Dakar 2.0 means what on the circuit?
Yeah, Dakar, they've managed to keep the essence of what was first called the Paris Dakar. And then they had the Paris Le Cup as well. There were a couple of years where it actually came to South Africa and ended in Cape Town. So the event has evolved over the years many, many times. And now finally they call it the Dakar Rally. And they managed to keep the essence of it, even though they've moved it all over the world. And now they spend a lot of time in Saudi Arabia. It's effectively the toughest rally, the toughest driving event in the world. By consensus, by all drivers, that, you know, guys like Peter Hansel, guys like Sebastian Lowe, guys like our Jamil Davilliers that took part, these are guys that have taken part, and Tay Perry, also another South African lady navigator and bike rider, they've taken part in multiple disciplines, and most agree that this is the toughest motorsport event in the world. So that means that to be able to cross the finish line, to just get to the finish, is an accomplishment in itself. So for a South African-backed Toyota constructor to come to the finish line, win a couple of stages across the entire team, across three of the drivers, do well on the fourth driver, and then eventually win it again for the third time, I mean, that is just an incredible achievement. And you've got huge, huge backing for certain companies, Co-Drive, Mini, BMW, been involved, Peugeot, Citroën, and so many other companies. And then you've got this relatively small team of engineers, team of drivers, team of experts based in little old South Africa, tip of the African continent. And here we are showing all the international boys out there. Yes, our driver didn't win. You know, it would have been nice to see Henk or Jamil win. I always support Jamil because I'm a little bit biased. I've met him in the past. I'm a little bit of a fan. So it's disappointing not seeing him win, but at the same time, to see a South African backed team do so well, win so many stages, and then just dominate, it's a big win for South Africa.
Yeah. And just touch on, you know, just flesh out those dynamics for us, Ernest, of, first of all, as you say, a South African backed vehicle winning the Dakar Rally, what it takes to get that vehicle built and ready, and, you know, Dakar ready, and in many ways, Dakar proof. What does it take to win from a technical perspective?
I don't even know, because it's so high level. It's so high end. It's a year of development that goes into the car. This chassis that they've got at the moment, they've been developing it for years because they knew that the previous chassis, as fast as it wasn't good enough. They've changed over to what they call a buggy layout now. Mm-hmm. So it used to be sort of like a car layout, but you know, you can only do so much when the competition is going in a different direction. So Toyota, this new racing South Africa, eventually changed it to a buggy format. So it's got bigger wheels. It's got a different chassis setup. So now they've got a vehicle that was competitive this year, and it was going in the direction that all the winning and competitive teams were going in. So, you know, this has been a topic of discussion for a long time. When are they going to change to this format? When are they going to change from the V8 engine now to the V6 twin turbo? And that's exactly what they've done now. So, to answer your question, what does it take? It takes the best engineers in the world to build a car that's supposed to last for 2 weeks and be driven flat out. I asked Neil de Villiers, I spent 10 minutes in the car with him, and my back was sore for 2 days. And I asked Neil de Villiers, and I asked Neil de Villiers, how did you survive 2 weeks of driving like this? And he told me the driver is the weak link in this car. If you're jumping over dunes all the time, you're the one that gets sore. Yeah. The car can handle it. So we built a car that is built South Africa tough, to steal a tagline from another manufacturer.
Sure.
And we should be very proud of this vehicle. Like I said, the technical aspects of this car, I'm not even that sure about, but it's literally the tip of the spear when it comes to the build quality and the ability to last for an extended period of time.
Sure. You painted quite a grueling and grim picture of what this does to the human body and to the people in the cabin of that car. It really, really is an endurance race for the human beings in there as well. The role of the navigator is so key, as you pointed out many times in our conversations around rallies of this nature. Let's move on from there. Well, better than us, Ernest.
You know, when growing up, the Camel Trophy and the Dakar were on my list of things to do. I've taken them off the list because it is really that tough. Tay Perry is one of our big heroes, and I'm a big fan of her as well, South African Tay Perry. She actually completed the rally on a motorbike, was the first African female to complete the Dakar on a bike, and then eventually went on to navigate. So, I mean, the level of toughness that it takes to be able to compete in this at any point, any level, any speed, you know, it's absolutely commendable. And again, we brought the trophy home.
Yeah. Ernest, let's move on from there and get into your car reviews. I am told that you're giving a final verdict on living with the T-Cross. That's the VW T-Cross. And also giving a verdict or review on the Renault Kiga. What have you been able to make of these cars? I'm gleaning that you have spent a sustained amount of time with them by this point. Let's start with the Renault, in fact.
Yeah, the Renault, going into the Renault, my concerns were around build quality and what's it going to be like to live with, how does the car feel, et cetera. And I do think, my opinion on the car, I do think they're going to sell a lot of it. I do think that it's the most cost-effective SUV, and definitely buying the entry-level model would be the move. I have a top-spec Intense, but I just think for that money, that money could be better spent on something else, if I'm honest. I think the top-spec one is not the best in the range. Even though I do enjoy driving it as a car, you know, I'd rather personally, I prefer an automatic over a manual. But I do think as far as a sales proposition goes, go for the entry-level one. That's the cheapest SUV in the country, and there's a reason, you know, they build it that way, is to be able to give people access to this type of car. It's a big, spacious car. Actually very spacious inside. The build quality is not that bad. I just don't enjoy exactly how the car drives. To me, I don't get the sensation of enjoyment when driving the car. But you do get space. You get a lot of features. And for the price, I think for the right person, it's definitely worthwhile. So for me, I recommend the entry-level Kiga and not the top-spec type.
And of course, the reason it made such a big splash, as you just touched on, is the fact that it has that 200,000 rand starting price. So from an entry-level perspective, it certainly puts it in the range of being much more accessible than so many cars on the market. That was the big splash. And you're saying, Ernest, despite that, no reason to go overboard. Spend as little as possible, and you've made a good decision.
Yeah, I think the entry-level one looks good. It looks very modern. It's a head turner. You know, they've hit the nail on the head with the styling to make the car look more expensive.
Is it wrong to say it gives me Citroën sort of vibes aesthetically?
Yeah.
Puts me in mind of the Citroën compact vehicles as well?
Oh, yes. And Renault and Citroën have got a long sort of, they go back 84, and both of them being sort of French manufacturers, you know, there is going to be that styling sort of crossover. But the Kiger was designed and they made a concept called the Kiger and made sure that the production model kind of looks a little bit like a concept car.
Okay.
So from a looks perspective, you can't really fault it because I do think they made it look more expensive. So they made it, maybe there's a Citroën look in there somewhere as well, but it certainly does look a little bit more upmarket.
Yeah, absolutely.
But other than that, as far as the driving experience goes on the top spec model, the automatic gearbox is really good. I think it's a really good CVT gearbox in there. But if you're going to spend 300,000 on a Kiger, then I would say take the 300,000 and shop around for a couple of other options in the market.
All right, sweet, short, and to the point. Ernest Page's final thoughts on the Renault Kiger. Let's move now to the second vehicle that you're reviewing this morning or giving us some final thoughts on this morning, the T-Cross. How long did you spend with this VW T-Cross, and what exactly did you get up to in the T-Cross?
The T-Cross, I've had it since the middle of December. And because it was my December car, I actually parked it for a week before I drove it. So I was just standing there for a week waiting for the holiday to start.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my holiday car. I drove around quite a bit, and I even gave it to my camera guy and junior employee. He's actually part of our company, Performance Space. Craig, he took it around. Craig Newman, he drove it around for a week or two as well to give his sort of interpretation of the car. He's a young guy. He might be one of the sort of clients that would buy this car.
Yeah.
So Craig is not allowed to give much opinion, but he is allowed to give some opinion. He's still learning the rest. he did mention, yeah, that's how the School of Performance is played, motoring journalism. You need to build your opinion first. And he did mention the gears on the car. He didn't like second gear on the car.
Mm.
The way the clutch action worked, I checked it out myself. I don't necessarily agree that much, but I do think some people will think that the clutch action on the car is a little bit aggressive. I think it's a little bit hard. But other than that, the boot space in the T-Cross, I find the shelf a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a little scooter here, though. I've got an electric scooter that I use to test the boot. In the Kiger, the scooter just slipped in, no problem. So the Kiger's boot space is good. But in the T-Cross, the boot is a little bit small compared to some of the competitors, and you've got the spare wheel underneath.
Mm-hmm.
The shelf is quite flat. But that was really my only complaint with the T-Cross was that I wish the boot was a little bigger. But this is the smallest SUV in the current lineup. So, you know, if you're going to want more boot space, there are other options out there. Maybe look at, if you need the boot space, go test drive other vehicles and check other cars in that category, because they are bigger boots in that category.
All right.
Other than that, I mean, it's a typical VW. You get the VW feeling. You get the polo sort of sensation from behind the wheels. They all feel quite familiar. The build quality is great. The infotainment system's good. A couple of plastics here and there, but, you know, you're going to expect that with an entry-level 70-kilowatt version. I had the R-Line kit on there, so I had a little bit of the bumpers and the look, and it looked pretty modern. But, you know, you're still paying 360,000 Rand for this car. And in that 360,000 Rand mark for premium compact SUV like that, it's very competitive. So Africans are buying it.
Okay.
And the T-Cross, at the end of the day, the T-Cross, any of the T-Cross cars, I think it's a good proposition. Yes, it is a little bit more expensive than other offerings. You can get, again, value. You could probably get more value from offerings like Haval or other manufacturers. But people, when it comes to Toyota and BMW, it's usually a loyalty thing. So the person that's going to want it is after this specific car. And for those people, I can vouch that the T-Cross is, in fact, a very, very good car.
Mm. Just a little louder, or just repeat for us, for those that didn't catch our earlier mm-hmm. conversation on the T-Cross. When we talk interiors, when we talk about tech, how it's been spec'd out, what can people expect, right? So priced at, as you say, about 357,000. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? It's only available as a 5-speed manual?
Yeah, so this one, the 70 kilowatt one, is only available as a manual. And if you want to upgrade that, you have to get the 85 kilowatt version with the automatic gearbox. But I've got to say, I enjoy the manual on this car. The seating position takes a little bit of getting used to. But, you know, there are multiple adjustments that you can make to get it just the way you want. But once you get seated perfectly, the manual gearbox, it's like a Polo. You know, we all learned to drive on something like a Polo back in the day. And it's so easy to shuffle through those gears that I don't mind driving that manual version. And I think many people will. There are still certain segments where manual cars sell well, especially in the entry-level side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So the 70 kilowatt is still a good proposition. But, you know, I always recommend the manual or the automatic, usually, especially as we head into 2022, you know, a lot of people don't want to sit in traffic with a manual gearbox. So, yes, certainly, I would recommend an automatic version. But
right.
Depending on budget, depending on what you're after, it's a fantastic manual gearbox. Nothing wrong with a manual gearbox in my mind. Again, the clutch action might be a bit heavy for some in second gear. But other than that, you've got the infotainment system, which has now started, a couple of years ago. This infotainment system was a brand new design in the Golf GTI. It's now trickled down to the T-Cross. So you get a very modern touchscreen setup in there, too. Sort of Audi-esque.
Yes.
You know, so you've got all these modern touches that are forced down from the Golf 7 and the Golf 8. And, yeah, you get a very modern experience inside the car. It doesn't have USB, the regular USB port. It's only got USB-C, so you're going to have to buy those little converters. So that's maybe another little negative. But maybe that's a good idea to force me into 2022 and upgrade my USB there.
That, or just go ahead and utilize the AirPlay option. I'm just saying.
Yes. my phone doesn't have any wireless charging, any none of that.
No,
stuff.
Ernest.
I know. It's terrible. And I like cables. Though, when it comes to certain things, I just like plugging it in.
You're just like wires all over the cabin, the car cabin, tripping you up and getting tangled up in your coffee holder.
No, I don't, not in the car. But when it comes to in-car tech, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm behind the curve. I really am.
You know what, Ernest? We've got to sort out your AirPlay problems. I think we need to talk to some phone retailers or manufacturers.
Oh, yes. If there's anybody out there, they know where to find me.
And ask them to hook a brother up. Performance with Paige. We need to solve these issues. Come on. How are you going to describe the various AirPlay and Bluetooth related or stinking
now,
options
I've
for us?
A few months ago, I committed to start playing with these things. But again, I think I'm like my dad. I just got to a certain point where I was like, okay, that's enough technology for me. I'm done now. Air fryer is the last thing I'm getting.
You've reached your fill as a consumer. That's all you can do. That's all you can manage.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Fantastic stuff. So, Ernest, that's your final thoughts on the Renault Kiga. Renault, don't bother going spending beyond the entry-level amount of 200K. If you want to go beyond and overspec or get even more specs, just get a new vehicle altogether. VW T-Cross, you love the manual, in fact, and you would have to happily drive it. I've got a friend who still laughs at me because all the cars I've ever bought are always manual, and I still drive a manual, and she is like, why would you do that? There's just a lovely sense of control that you have. I enjoy that. I love that.
Exactly. That's what everybody that still drives a manual tells me. They want that sense of control. I don't 100% agree, but I do understand.
I love the fact that you've subtweeted me as well. Everyone that still drives a manual. So I've given you hell not having an AirPlay-enabled
exactly.
phone.
I've taken it personally now.
Exactly. Okay. No, that cut deep. I felt it. Just as you sort of look into, look ahead at 2022 and the various races and motoring events that that are a staple on the motoring calendar, what is pinging? What is bright red on your radar, Ernest, that you're looking forward to, that you can just give us a heads up in terms of looking out for or starting to think about?
Well, the big one is the Kyalami 9-hour, and that was postponed last year. I'm commentating that for Supersport, casual next. And, it's back now. The Kyalami 9-hour is back. It was postponed last year because of the new variant. And although I think the grids are going to be a bit smaller than expected, there will be a lot of a big South African contingency, and there will also be a lot of international drivers there. There will be the best of the best there. So the Intercontinental GT Challenge is going ahead end of this month. Mm-hmm. So that's something to check out. Especially for the Joburg people out there, it's going to be a salon. Tickets are available. And we can be there in person now. You know, so that's going to be great. And that's the big one for this month. End of this month, the Kyalami 9 hours next.
All right, fantastic stuff. So we'll look forward to that. Maybe we can coerce Ernest Page into popping into studio for one of our chats, because all of the stuff has been taking place telephonically.
I know.
Because you're all the way in Cape Town. What else is on your radar that you're looking forward to? As local as possible, the better. Are you taking part in any races yourself, Ernest?
The Rallycross in February. I'm probably be doing the Rallycross again this year, competing in a couple of events. But I think that the big thing is that, you know, more spectators are being allowed at these local events. The local calendar is kicking off. Usually it kicks off in February, March. So that should start by mid-Feb into March, the local calendar. And be sure to check out your local calendar. For Johannesburg, you've got SWATCOPS, which has got a bunch of events. I think with Red Star Raceway. So their websites will host any sort of information about the local races taking place. So certainly check out SWATCOPS. I think a lot of us were stuck in at home for 2 years. So, and motorsport, local motorsport, especially with the spectator side, has dipped down over the years. So this is a good excuse to just get out the house and go check out something in the flesh and maybe go to the local circuit and see some racing. My big advocacy this year is for all those car enthusiasts out there. There is grassroots motorsport available that you can do. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever thought of racing a car, there are ways and means to do it. So maybe this might be the year to get that cheapy and go race.
All right. Fantastic stuff. Ernest Page, always a pleasure.